The first time that I ever experienced being singled out for racial reasons was, ironically, in the Bahamas. My parents have a house there on the island of Andros. And yeah, this is usually where I tell you it's a very small house. It's like, I've got a picture. It's like about 700 square feet. So it's kind of like a little cabin in the woods, you know, except for it's like 5 minutes away from a beach. And how it's in this little town and it wasn't really expensive. But who are we kidding? It is awesome. Like, it's just so cool to be able to go somewhere, you know, totally relaxing, totally tropical, like a five-minute walk from beaches that are virtually empty and coral reefs just offshore. And like, it's pretty cool. Pray for me. But it's also there. See, my parents discovered the Bahamas about 20 years ago, at least for them, because my mom's really into swimming and they really like snorkeling and stuff like that. So they went down there on vacation and then they discovered some of the culture there, especially the culture in these smaller villages. This is an agricultural island and it's a village of maybe 400 or 500 people. So when they discovered that houses are actually very affordable there, and they bought one, they spend about 4 months out of the year down there every year. So over the last 15 or so years, they've made some very, very close friendships. In some cases, maybe even closer friendships than they experienced in British Columbia, where they normally live. Now, one of the reasons they're so close to people down there is because they're involved in a couple of churches. There's an Anglican church that meets at 8:30 in the morning, and there's a Baptist church that meets at 11 o'clock. And so they go to both of them so they can have a glass of wine with the Anglicans and then not have any glasses of wine with the Baptists. And so when our family goes down, I know, I'm just being honest. Okay. So when our family goes down there, and worships with them, it's really fun because we kind of get just swept into this wonderful, beautiful, loving community. And when we show up at church, like it's a picture from a couple years back, this is at Mount Fisca Baptist Church. Nobody needs to ask, hey, are you here today as a guest? I mean, because there's a sea of chocolate and this one row of vanilla, right? Right there, you know, as we're singing along with gospel songs and stuff like that. Beautiful, wonderful, amazing people. It's also the place where, not in this setting, but actually have this connects to something that happened a few years back. So Anita and I were on a date, and so we took my parents' old rusty beach bikes, and we were, you know, pedaling up the main road, and we're about 5-6 miles out of town in a totally different village where nobody knew us or my parents or anything like that. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is, you know, one of the, like in small communities where you've got kind of an equal number of tiny churches and tiny bars. Why is that? Anyways, but we're going right by, and it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're biking just in front of a bar. And there were some gentlemen in there who I think it's, you know, 2 in the afternoon. So of course you've been deep in the truth serum at this point in the day, and they're kind of staggering outside the bar, and I'm you know squeaking by, and one of them called out to me, "Hey, Whitey, you're not from around here, are you?" And that's the first time I felt it. Like, actually a little scared. So what's going to happen now? Realizing, okay, I'm being treated differently solely and completely because of my appearance. And that, for me, was the moment when I kind of got it. Like, oh, this might be what some people experience on a much more regular basis. This sense. Because let's face it, in the places that I've grown up, I grew up in British Columbia, and then I lived in Yakima, and in, well, some in Chicago, and then here, you know, I'm a 5'10" white American male, I'm about as average as it gets. I can kind of blend into a crowd. I've never been singled out because of my appearance. But at that moment, I got it. Oh. See, all of us have been affected by these kinds of issues at least a little bit. Some of us maybe more overtly, because this is part of your story. I mean, there have been moments, maybe repeated moments in your life where you've been singled out or treated differently because of your appearance. Maybe you were in a minority group in whatever the majority of that culture was. Or maybe there was some other thing about you that made you unusual. You were unusually tall or short or skinny or heavy or whatever. But it affected you. For others, we've been affected maybe in much more subtle ways, affected simply by the fact that in most of the places where I've lived, I just haven't had to think about it. So there's been some things for me that have been just a little bit easier as a result of being average, of being normal, of, well, at least what was thought of as normal. I mean, if you know me at all, but anyway, but normal within whatever that group would believe to be normal. And so today I wanted to look at this truth that shows up in Scripture of reconciliation and how sin has this effect of dividing us not only from God, but from each other. And how the message of the gospel is that God reconciles us not only to himself, but also to each other. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. So if you'd open up your Bibles or your Bible apps, let's hear God's word together. And in many cases, I recognize this is going to be more of a reminder than it is any other thing. But it's an important reminder. Sin separates, but God reconciles. So this is Paul, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's writing to a church that is predominantly what's called Gentile. Now, in the first century Jewish world, there were two types of people. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. From a Jewish perspective, that would be there are people who are us, and there are people who are them, right? There are people who are insiders, and there are people who are outsiders. So Gentiles that's a description that would be for really every race and nationality that is not Jewish. And one of the challenges in the early church was how the gospel, which was proclaimed initially within the nation of Israel and initially within Judaism, because Jesus was Jewish, his initial disciples, they were all Jewish, they quickly discovered that this message of salvation with God through Jesus Christ was not just for the Jews. It was, in fact, for everyone. And so Paul is writing to this largely Gentile church, reminding them of where they've come from, but also reminding them of who they are. So let's hear God's word together. So Paul writes, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." That sounds kind of blunt, doesn't it? But the truth is, that is the reality for every human being apart from Christ. We like to think that our status before God is on our own merit. You know, like you ask somebody, you know, have you made right with God? Some people will say, yeah, I have. Well, how come? Well, because, you know, I've lived a good life. I try to do the best I can. I try to be a good neighbor. Well, what the harsh reality of the gospel is that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve heaven. We are blind to our own depravity. And unfortunately, that also can make us blind to how great and amazing grace truly is. You know, so we like to think of ourselves as good people, and maybe compared to the people around us, we are. You know, maybe you're just a little bit better than average. That makes you good. But we forget that all of us have sinned. It's a little bit like, and I realize this is not a great illustration, it's a little bit like, you know, a sociopathic murderer saying, you know, I realize I've killed a lot of people, but I've made my bed every single morning, and I wash the dishes every single night. Don't I get credit for that? And you're like, well, yeah, you do, but there's this much larger issue that we need to deal with. And yes, you've done good. Yes, I've done good. Yes, we have a capacity for good. But we forget that in the depths of our being, we tend to ignore God and keep God at arm's length. And so Paul's reminding the Gentiles of this. Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Let me just unpack that a little bit. That the law, the requirements of God, the ways that we have fallen short have been dealt with once and for all by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so where the cosmic justice of the universe would say debtor, the blood of Jesus Christ says paid in full. Amen. Where the cosmic justice of the universe would say sinner, condemned, the blood of Jesus Christ would say saint, accepted, welcomed. And because all of us have sinned and because all of us are freely forgiven through Jesus Christ, that makes us equal. Amen. We have reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, and that reconciliation does not stop with just me and Jesus, but it applies also to the relationships around us. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them, both Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. In fact, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul would put it this way. I just love this passage. Let's jump a couple slides ahead. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. So all of the economic barriers are destroyed. There's even neither male nor female. That doesn't mean that you're no longer male or no longer female. It means there's absolute equality between men and women. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The message of the cross is a message of reconciliation. You have been reconciled to God. I have been reconciled to God. And because of that, we are and we can be reconciled to one another. So I've been asking around this past week with people that in our community that might be thought of as a minority group, kind of what some of their own experiences have been. So I talked to some of the folks with Alpha E Omega, and this part you should be encouraged with. Many folks in this case from the Spanish Foursquare Church, at least what they're telling me is there have been communities where they've experienced some significant discrimination. But glory to God, at least every person I asked said, you know, Wenatchee is a really good place to live. I ended up talking also with Freddie Robinson. He's a part of our men's group. He might actually stick out a little bit here because he is one of the few chocolate members of our congregation. Asking, you know, so as an African-American male, I'm sad he couldn't be here today, but he wrote me some really nice notes about this. How have you experienced discrimination? And he started to speak of other places where he'd experienced that, but then saying here how one of the things he loved about the Wenatchee Valley is that how many times there have been people that have offered him rides, how many times people have just warmly greeted and welcomed him, and glory to God, this is, according to him, has been a great place to live. But I also wanted you to hear from Angie Arnold, because Angie was raised, in New York. You have from Puerto Rican heritage. Will you come on up so they can see you?
Sí, soy puertorriqueña.
Ah, sí.
Entiende.
Entiende. Mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto.
So Angie, you know, growing up where in New York, where people of Puerto Rican descent would be maybe a bit more of a minority group.
Very separated.
Very separated. What were some of your experiences?
Well, as growing up there, let's go to the Christian environment. Catholics went to Catholic churches. Hispanics went to Hispanic churches. If you were, let's say, I'm going to put in Pentecostal just to use that, we weren't like either. They, for some reason, the Pentecostal was always so different, only because they always said, well, they talk in tongues and
sure.
We don't understand
sure.
What they're talking about, so let's stay away from them.
Yeah.
But a lot of it had to do with, if you're Spanish, you're going to go to a Spanish church. And I went from Catholic, like in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then I go to visit my dad, who I went to live with later in life, and he was Southern Baptist. And boy, what a big change that was.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of difference because the Hispanics had to stick together, pray together, and do things together. Don't go to the Catholic Church because they're not doing the same things we're doing.
So it's kind of these assumptions that, you know, if you're from one cultural heritage, this is where you need to be, and you kind of have to stick with your own people,
your own
in quotes.
People,
yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Now, what are some things that you've noticed being in the Wenatchee Valleys? You've taken some of those journeys. How have those spaces been
well,
different or maybe even similar?
Like Freddie?
Yeah, like Freddie. Yeah.
I love it here. I have never felt like I've been, if I wanted to go to the Spanish church and just be there that Sunday, I was never turned away or never looked at different. If I decided that one time, which has been a very long time, I went with a friend to a Catholic church, and it was a little different experience because I hadn't been for so long, but there was still no change. It was still for the love of God, and there was no change about you're white, you're chocolate,
yeah.
You're Asian, or any other race.
Right.
It is like a big blend of soup, everything thrown in together.
Right.
And everybody loved it.
Right. So you're just experiencing a lot of diversity.
A lot.
Here. Yeah.
And it's wonderful worshiping in this state, especially.
Yeah.
Even in Seattle, when I go visit my son.
Yeah.
I go to churches over there on Sunday, and it's, you're welcomed, you're loved. It's,
That's okay.
Getting nervous here.
So have there been any places where, as a person of color, you've maybe felt like you've been treated differently?
Where I worked.
Okay.
I worked for DSHS, and believe me, there's a lot of diversity there.
Okay. Okay. And so maybe some assumptions around
being Hispanic.
Okay.
And being not Hispanic.
Okay. So there are still some places where
but never to that great extent that you feel out of place.
Okay. So what would be maybe advice you would give to somebody that was not Hispanic about something you would hope that people might know about what it means to be Hispanic in the Wenatchee Valley?
I don't know, only that you just have to love one another no matter what.
Yeah.
What you think they might be. I know that I still open my house to people that are homeless and don't have a good place for a dinner or maybe even a shower. And I don't think that it matters to me or them that I have helped, what color they are,
yeah,
what language they speak. I had a friend, I didn't understand half of what she said, but we always communicated.
Yeah, yeah.
She left for, you know, but I miss her. But we never had a problem communicating, even though her language was different.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, thanks, Angie. I appreciate you sharing. Yeah, give her a hand. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, there's this passage. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. We remember that as we place our hope in Christ and place our hope in the coming kingdom, as the power of God is fully realized on earth, that heaven will be a place of tremendous diversity. There will be a time when there will be no more language barriers between people groups. There will be a time when there will be no more cultural barriers between people groups. We will stand together as equals before the throne of grace. And so as we today live into and seek to bring and realize even the foretaste, you know, the appetizers of the kingdom of God, I hope that we would consider and continue to pray that, especially as believers, that we might be people who recognize the beauty of the diversity of the kingdom of God. We need each other. That we would be agents of reconciliation. So what might reconciliation look like? Let me tell you a quick story. In 1996 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, there was a Ku Klux Klan rally. And the word had gone out about this. And of course, you know, you've got the Klan on one side of the street and a whole bunch of protesters showing up on the other side of the street. And for whatever reason, a Klan member ended up in the wrong place. Ended up in the wrong group. And so among the protesters, once they discovered that this was a white supremacist, the phrase, Nazi, Nazi, kill the Nazi, started to rise up. And this white supremacist started to get beaten up. Some of us might be like, yeah, that sounds great, you know? But as this person was on the ground and being pummeled, a woman by the name of Keisha Thomas showed up. She was 18 years old, an African American, and she threw her body onto his. And when she was asked after the fact, "So why did you do this?" She said, "Because I know what it's like to be beat down." And it also happens that Keisha is a Christian. And so her testimony still to this day is how our faith commands us and commends us to engage when there are issues of discrimination, even in a situation where, I mean, she is defending with her body somebody that would like to do her harm. That's what it means to live out the kingdom of God now. But you know, as we live it out, it's not only in the big dramatic acts. It's also in the very small, the very subtle, the acts of neighborliness, of smiling at people, of welcoming each other, of hearing each other's stories, maybe just like we're doing right now, of just simply asking, tell me what your experience has been, of inviting each other into our homes, of having meals together. That also is reconciliation. Just treating each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So as we look to how this passage, especially this Ephesians truth, you know, we've been reconciled with God, therefore we should be reconciled with one another, that sin separates, but God reconciles. Let's consider how that applies perhaps in our own life. Maybe today you feel like you have been distant from God. You've been keeping God at arm's length. You've been saying to him, in effect, I've got it from here. Butt out. Stay out. I don't need you. That maybe today the Holy Spirit is calling you and drawing you to recommit your life to Christ, or to give your heart to Jesus for the first time and recognize your need for him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Maybe the message of reconciliation affects you in another way, where you're realizing, you know, there are other brothers and sisters, whether that's a family member or a friend, or especially if it's another believer, that for whatever reason you've been at odds with each other. That there was something in the past that has kept you apart. And maybe today the Holy Spirit is calling to you to go and make things right. Go have that conversation. To go initiate something. To say, I'm sorry. Or if you're Canadian, I'm sorry. To do something to start that process of forgiveness and reconciliation. And maybe for you, that might be also the Holy Spirit inviting you to pay attention to that neighbor, that person across the street, that dinner invitation. Even if they speak a different language, maybe especially if they speak a different language or come from a different country, that we can be ambassadors of Christ as we are agents of reconciliation, proclaiming the gospel through word and deed, and never forgetting where the power to reconcile comes from. Let's pray together. Invite you to have every head bowed, every eye closed. How is the Spirit calling you today? How is he asking you to be an agent of reconciliation? How is he asking you to be a problem, a part of the solution and not just a part of the problem? If today you're realizing that you've been keeping God at arm's length, that you need to reconcile with him, that you need to receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that you need to say first to God, God, I am sorry. I've been ignoring you. I've been keeping you away. But today, I recognize my need and I want to let you in. So if you're looking to give your life to Christ or to maybe recommit your life to Christ, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but just ask you to, let's just make eye contact for a moment. Just make eye contact for a moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see you. Yeah. I see you. I see you. And so if you're committing your life to Christ or recommitting your life to Christ today, let's just say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me and make me new. Thank you that through Jesus, everything has been forgiven and I am being made a new person. Amen. And as you continue to pray, you know, and think about what your next step of reconciliation might be, you know, how God is drawing you, whether that's to make it right with somebody else and to say, I'm sorry. Or maybe to take one of those steps of just reaching out to somebody that's a little bit different than you. Just take a moment before him to commit that to him. Just invite you to do that. Lord, how are you calling me to be an agent of reconciliation? Lord, how are you calling me to be a part of the solution and not just a part of the problem? Lord, help me to know what my next step is. So Lord, may your church be faithful ambassadors of your love. God, may we be a part of tearing down the cultural walls that far too often divide us. Lord, may we be a part of tearing down the prejudices that cause us to prejudge one another. Lord, help us to remember that the ground is level before the cross and that in Jesus we are one. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for the things he's doing, for the lives he's changing, and for the mission that he has called us to. Invite you to stand as we sing together and remember the power of Jesus.